Please be respectful to the Buddha by reciting three times Namo Tassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Today I will continue Anapana meditation again. Now you are practicing Anapana very well. You can see Nimitta, and then you cannot go into Jhana state. Why? 5 hindrances are a problem. Number one hindrance is attachment to sensual pleasures. What is attachment? Today, one meditator, she asked me to permit to go back to her home to look after her 3 dogs. Okay? So she want to look after her 3 dogs. This is problem for her. Attachment to her dogs. This is one type of sensual pleasure. Another lady informed me to go back to home to do some business. This is also attachment to the business. So such type of attachment is rising and passing away successfully for a long time. Then you cannot concentrate on your anapana meditation object or anapana padibhaga nimitta. You cannot enter into jhana. So at that time you must remove this sensual attachment. How you should remove? There is one sutta called Meghiya sutta. And then sutta Buddha says, Asubha bhavidabha ragasa pahanaya. Because please cultivate asubha meditation to remove or to suppress attachment or craving. How you should practice asubha? Later we will discuss. There are 2 types of asubha. Animate and inanimate. If you get this and 32 parts, then you should be addition this 32 parts as a repulsiveness. This is Savunyanaga Asubha, anime Asubha. Again, you should also practice Avunyanaga Asubha, anime Asubha. This is, you should try to see dead corpse. Female meditator should try to look at female dead corpse. Male meditator should try to look at male dead corpse. Then you should be addition as a repulsiveness. If you can try up to jhana stage, it is better. Then that asubha meditation can remove sensual desire or attachment to the sensual pleasures. Then sometimes there may arise anger. If there is anger, this is called Vyabhada Nivarana, one type of hindrance. What is Vyabhada Nivarana? Especially anger. Anger to any person or any object. To remove anger, how you should try? Medha bhavidabha vyabhadasa bahanaya. In this way, Buddha says, you should cultivate medha bhavana, loving kindness meditation. How you should practice loving kindness meditation? It is also not easy, but as a general, you can try No problem. Wholesome tamas may increase, but to attain jhana is a little bit difficult. To attain jhana, after you had been practice 10 kasinas, 8 attainments, other than if you switch your meditation to loving kindness meditation, it is better. And now you are reciting Metta Sutta, Karaniya Metta Sutta. This Sutta Buddha taught to the 500 bhikkhus. These 500 bhikkhus already practice some tinkasinas in 8 attainments. Based on these 8 attainments, they always practice vipassana up to Uddiya Vaya Jnana stage, the knowledge of rising and passing away. But when devas frightened them, then they go back to the Buddha. At that time, Buddha teach them Karaniya Metta Sutta for reciting as well as for cultivating metta meditation. Those bhikkhus already practice 10 kasinas in 8 attainments already. Based on 10 kasinas in 8 attainments, if they practice metta, their metta is becoming very powerful, very easy. Because of this reason, Buddha taught them to them to cultivate, to practice metta meditation. It is very easy. So because of this reason, usually we also teach metta meditation. After a meditator already attained 10 kasinas in 8 attainments. If he had practiced 10 kasinas in 8 attainments, other than if he practiced metta meditation, it is very easy for him. Then his metta bhavana also very quick. Metta bhavana also will become strong and powerful bhavana meditation. So if there is any anger disturbed to your concentration, other than you should cultivate metta meditation. Then another hindrance is sloth and dopa. Tina metta. Your mind becomes dull, not alert. At the time, sleepiness may arise. At the time, Buddha suggests to practice aloka kasina or aloka, to increase aloka. How you should practice? Now you may understand when you are practicing anabana, light is abhya. You should emphasize this light is called the light of wisdom. You should emphasize that light of wisdom temporarily to remove sloth and dopa only. This is one. Another is, if you can practice aloka kasina, like kasina, it is better. At the time, you should practice, you should emphasize only aloka, light, such as the electric light, such as this light. You should pay attention to this light up to jhana, fourth jhana stage especially. At the time, sleepiness or sloth and dopa will disappear. If you cannot do like that, then you should do like that. Rub your limbs. It is better to remove sloth and dopa, or to suppress sloth and dopa only. Then another hindrance is odicha kagocha nivarana. Restless and remorse. Restless is wandering mind only. You cannot stay on your meditation object. Mind is always wandering from one object to another, another to another. Remorse is you had been done wrong doings or wrong speech, etc. If you remember, you had a lot of remorse, a lot of unhappiness. Such type of unhappiness, remorse is called kokocha, worry. To remove this, how you should try? As well as you can, you should forget everything, except your meditation object. If it is not okay, then you should reflect. This worry can produce to be reborn in one of woeful states. And I know that if I remember such and such objects which produce remorse, then it is sure to be, after that, to be reborn in one of woeful states. So, if you are afraid of woeful states, you must remove this remorse. In this way, you should admonish to yourself. Remorse is you are accumulating unwholesome karma again. Previously you may guilt maybe somebody or maybe some animals, etc. If you remember again and again, then unwholesome karmas are rising and buzzing away again and again. So this is, in other words, this is you are accumulating unwholesome karmas again. So because of this reason, if you can forget unwholesome deeds or unwholesome speech, then it is better. If you cannot forget these unwholesome deeds and unwholesome speech, this is problem. Remorse will be always welcoming to you. So because of this reason, you should reflect and then please emphasize to your meditation object only. The another hindrance is doubt, vicikicca. Vicikicca is doubt about 8 types of dhammas only. You have doubt in the Buddha, in the Dhamma, in the Sangha, in the three trainings, the training of morality, the training of concentration, the training of wisdom. And then you may have doubt about the past aggregates or future aggregates or both past aggregates and future aggregates. Then another doubt is you may have doubt about dependent origination. This is the activity of the law of karma. So at that time you should study Buddha's teachings under the guidance of a skillful teacher. It is to remove this doubt. And then another better way is you should try up to Pichaya Pariga Jnana stage. Defining discerning cause and conditions. Pichaya Pariga Jnana, the knowledge of discerning cause and conditions. Up to this stage, if you can try, then that knowledge can suppress your doubt temporarily. It is better. So altogether there are 5 hindrances. One of these hindrances are visiting to your mind, you cannot meditate well. So please try to remove these hindrances. And then please focus on your nimitta again. When your concentration deep enough, your anabana nimitta will become bright, transparent and bright. That transparent and bright nimitta is called Patibhaga Nimitta counterpart sign. This is the object of excess concentration as well as the object of full absorption concentration, jhana concentration. So if you concentrate on that Anabana Patibhaga Nimitta, then when concentration deep enough, then your mind will fully absorb inside the Nimitta. Or your mind will sink into the nimitta and stay there peacefully without any wandering. So this such type of full absorption is called jhana absorption. You should maintain this jhana absorption, full absorption up to 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, etc. You should try 5 mantras of this 5 jhana. After you had practiced 5 mantras of this 5 jhana, if you want to go to second jhana, how you should try? First, at least you should try to re-establish your 1st jhana concentration about 1 hour. Imagine or coming out from that jhana, you should reflect. This 5 jhana is close to the enemy hindrances. The nearness of the hindrances. This is 1 part of the 5 jhana. What is the nearness? When your concentration deep enough, then Anabana Pribhaga Nimitta will arise, counterpart sign. If you can focus on that Anabana Pribhaga Nimitta, concentration will become deeper and deeper. Before jhana stage is called excess concentration stage. In that excess concentration stage, 500 cells will be disappear. That concentration can suppress 500 cells. At that time only 500 cells will not visit to your mind. Then full absorption will appear. So full absorption and excess concentration close to each other. In the same way, full absorption and hindrances are also close to each other. So this is one pole. Another pole is, please reflect Paichana Pedas. Vidyaga in Vichara. Vidyaga is cross. Vichara is cross. Vidyaga is initial obligation of the mind to the Anapana Brihaga Nimitta object. Vichara is sustained obligation of the mind to the Anapana Brihaga Nimitta object. Without applying the mind to the Anapana Brihaga Nimitta, if mind stay with Nimitta, it is very good. Now applying the mind to the Nimitta again, this is gross manner of mind. So, because of this reason, this Vidyaga and Vichara is gross. Because of the grossness of Vidyaga and Vichara, this jhana is very weak. Because of the weakness of this jhana petas, then it can easily fall down to excess concentration stage, or maybe completely Nimitta may disappear. So because of this reason, this jhana can be easily fallen down because of this vidyaka vichara. This is two types of faults. Number one is the nearness of hindrances. Number two is the grossness of two jhana pradas, vidyaka and vichara. Then please reflect piti, sukha, egagada, piti, rapture, sukha, happiness, feeling, egagada, one-pointedness. Please reflect three jhana pradas. Which is the jhana pada of second jhana. This second jhana is very peaceful. This is one benefit. After reflecting in this way, with the intention to remove cross pada and to achieve, to attain second jhana, higher jhana, you should focus on the anapana vipaka nimitta again. But the reflecting moment must be for few seconds only. If you reflect for a long time, then your nimitta will disappear, or your nimitta will be decreased to ogaha nimitta learning sign, or prigama nimitta preliminary sign. So reflecting time must be for few seconds only. After reflecting in this way, you should focus on the nimitta again. For beginners, usually full absorption will appear again, but that full absorption may be only pachana. Okay. Imagine from that pachana, when you are reflecting jhana padas, at that time you will see vidyaga vichara is very gross. Piti sukha egagra is more quiet, more peaceful. At that time to remove gross padas, to attain subtle padas, which is second jhana, you should again concentrate on the anapana brihaga nimitta again. Then, very soon full absorption will appear. At that time, this full absorption may be second jhana. Imagine from that full absorption, when you are reflecting jhana pedas, you will see vidyaga vichara disappear. Only three jhana pedas, piti, sukha, egagra only remain. If it is pure, you should try to maintain this second jhana for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, etc. In next sentence, it is not necessary to re-establish your pachana concentration for about 1 hour. For about 5 minutes, 10 minutes will be enough. For those who began expert, the 1 minute, 2 minutes will be enough. At that time, you should maintain your second jhana concentration for a long time. It is better if you can concentrate more than 3 hours. Because if first jhana and second jhana become very strong and powerful, your higher jhanas such as third jhana and fourth jhana will become also powerful. If Pajjana and Sakinjana is very weak, Pajjana and Sakinjana are very weak, then Najjana and Pojjana also will become weak. So because of this reason, if you can re-establish your concentration in the Pajjana as well as in Sakinjana, it is better. At least you should practice Pajjana for 3 days, Sakinjana also for 3 days, it is better. But then, if you want to go to Pajjana, how you should do? Pajjana for about 1 minute, 2 minutes, Sakinjana for about nearly 1 hour. You should re-establish the jhanas again. Imagine from Sakinjana, you should reflect 2 disadvantages as well as 1 benefit, 1 advantage. 2 disadvantages are, number 1 is this jhana is close to the enemy vidyaka vichara or pajjana. Pajjana and Sakinjana is very close to each other. This is 1 fault. Then another fault is, please reflect piti. Piti is very gross. If there is piti, rapture, then emotion will arise. Emotion is gross manner of mind, not peaceful. This is 1 fault. Because of this grossness, this jhana also very weak. Because of the weakness of this jhana peta, then the jhana also can easily fall down. This is 1 disadvantage. So altogether there are 2 disadvantages. Number 1 is the nearness of pajjana enemy or vidyaka vichara. Number 2 is grossness of piti rapture. After reflecting these 2 disadvantages, you should reflect 1 advantage. That jhana, which has 2 jhana petas, sukha and ekagata, is more quiet. After reflecting in this way, you should concentrate on your nimitta again. Then very soon full absorption will appear. That full absorption may be for some meditators in jhana only. Imagine from that full absorption, when you are reflecting jhana petas, and then you will see piti is very gross. Sukha ekagata is more quiet and more peaceful. At the time, to remove cross pada and to achieve or to attain that jhana which has 2 jhana padas, sukha and ekagata, you should concentrate on your patibhaga nimitta object again. Then very soon full absorption will appear. At the time, you will understand piti, rapture, disappear. And then only 2 jhana petas, sukha and ekagata, exist. And then you should maintain this third jhana. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, etc. You should practice 5 mastaries of third jhana. If you satisfy, then you should go to 4th jhana. If you want to go to 4th jhana, you should re-establish your 5th jhana for 1 minute, 2 minutes. Second jhana for about 1 minute, 2 minutes. Third jhana for about 1 hour. Imagine from that jhana, you should reflect 2 disadvantages and 1 benefit. 1 advantage. 2 disadvantages are, number 1 is, this jhana is close to the enemy, piti rapture. This is third jhana. This third jhana is close to the enemy, second jhana. In second jhana, there is piti rapture. So rapture is the close enemy for third jhana. Then please reflect another sukha. Sukha is also gross. Why? If you feel happiness, and then the mind is a little bit shaky, not peaceful, not quiet. So because of this reason, happiness also gross. Because of the grossness of this happiness, this jhana is very weak and can easily fall down. This is 1 disadvantage. Then you should reflect another advantage. Upekkha ekagata. two jhana phetas, which is the jhana pheta of fourth jhana. This fourth jhana is very quiet, very peaceful. After reflecting in this way, you should focus on your paribhaga, anabana paribhaga nimitta again. When you are focusing or when you are concentrating on your paribhaga nimitta again, and that the full absorption may arise. Huh? That full absorption may be for some meditators, that jhana only. Imagine from that jhana, when you are reflecting jhana pedas, and then you will see sukha is cross. Ubhaga egagra is more quiet, more peaceful. And then to remove cross pedas, to attain fourth jhana, which has two jhana pedas, ubhaga and egagra. Then you should focus on your paribhaga nimitta again. Very soon full absorption will appear. That full absorption is fourth jhana, usually. Hmm? And then you will understand sukha disappears. Hmm? And then only two jhana phetas, ubhaga and egagra. What is ubhaga? Ubhaga, they translate equanimity. Hmm? Equanimous feeling only. Neutral feeling only. Not sukha, not dukkha. So that equanimity feeling, equanimous feeling is called ubhaga vedana. And then there is only one-pointedness. But for many meditators, really at the end, they understand samadhi concentration or one-pointedness. That one-pointedness, egagra, is called samadhi in this case. That samadhi is very strong. Feeling is not clear to them. So not clear feeling is called neutral feeling or equanimous feeling. The most important thing is at the end only your breath will become stopped completely. But for many meditators who have no much learning knowledge, I ask one question. If you attain fourth jhana, you can breathe well or not? I ask in this way. Some meditators, oh, very good, very good. Very good, I can breathe well. In this way, this is not real fourth jhana. If you breathe peacefully, this is not real fourth jhana. But there is one problem. One problem is, when they emerge from fourth jhana, they must quickly reflect whether they are breathing or not. For a few seconds later, if they reflect, then they see very subtle breath. Why? Reflecting knowledge can produce breath. So because of this reason, a few seconds later, if they reflect, they can see very subtle breath. But very quickly, if they descend, they can see when they are entering into fourth jhana, at that time, breath completely stops. So this is fourth jhana. You should maintain this fourth jhana for a long time. This fourth jhana can produce strong, powerful light. The light of wisdom. For some meditators, that light may spread up to very far away, up to 1 mile, 2 miles, or 10 miles, etc. Maybe up to the whole world. This fourth jhana is very powerful. It can produce strong, powerful light. Based on this fourth jhana, if you practice metta meditation, then you can see any different types of beings, such as animals, vedas, ghosts, hell beings, and devas, brahmas, etc. When your light is very strong, you can see. So at that time, you may accept, oh, hell is real. Deva plane is real, Brahma plane is real, and then you can accept. But many meditators, they ask me many questions about this problem. In the some paints, you may see some devas in the paints. Real devas and the devas in the paints are same or not? Such questions they ask, then you should practice by yourself only, and then you will understand whether they are same or different. Okay, today I will stop my Dhamma talk. We will try question answer. Last time, there are many questions we have not yet answered. Maybe. This finish, I think so. Not yet finished. This one. Finish. You get it.
Yeah, read the question. Memory is due to sati cetasika, which only arise in wholesome mind. What cetasika that play the function of memory in akusala citta?
There are four types of cetas. Number one is unwholesome citta. Number two is wholesome citta. Number three is functional citta. Number four is resident citta. So there are four types of cetas, not only two types. And wholesome cetas, sati, mindfulness, we translate. Sati is always present, always associated with wholesome citta. Some vibhaga cetas also always associated with sati. Some vibhaga means wholesome rather than vibhaga cetas. Functional cetas, some functional cetas. These functional cetas usually accept two means mind or the body consciousness, vital and body consciousness. Except these two types of consciousness, other functional cetas arise in raha. These are rahas, vipassana, insight, knowledge, etc. only. Jhana cetas also include. So, functional cetas for rahas also usually associated with sati, mindfulness. So altogether, there are four types of sati, four types of cetas. Among four types, sati is not associated with unwholesome cetas. Then, unwholesome dhammas, they may memorize. Which cetasika do the function of memory? Perception, sinya. Sinya also can remember the previous past events, such as unwholesome deeds, unwholesome thoughts, unwholesome verbal actions, unwholesome bodily actions. So this is perception. Now sati. Sati is a good one. Okay.
There are two questions here. The first one, Bhante, when we meditate, we try to avoid wandering thoughts. Is there any good wandering thoughts? For example, this question itself arises when my mind starts wandering.
If you want to be successful, you are meditation subject. Any wandering mind is not good. For example, predominant example, when you are practicing anapana, then your mind change into pushing. For example, pushing is one of four elements. Then sometimes anapana, sometimes pushing, sometimes anapana, sometimes pushing. This is problem. This is only one type of wandering mind. From your meditation object, you change another meditation object. Then if you emphasize pushing too much, because the breath is not clear, so you may a little bit follow inside the nose. At the time, pushing is very clear. If you emphasize pushing, here is breath is clear, but not breath, pushing. Pushing is very clear. Then if you emphasize pushing too much, then very soon hardness will appear. If you emphasize pushing in hardness, then cohesion will appear. Pushing, hardness, and cohesion three together will produce many tensions slowly the whole face, the whole head. Is it good? When you are practicing anapana, if your head is many tensions, is it good or not? You can answer by yourself. If it is good, then you can continue. If it is not good, then although it may be wholesome, wandering mind, but you should not follow. But if you want to practice four elements meditation, it is good. You should practice only four elements meditation. But sometimes some meditators, when they are practicing four elements meditation is not good. Slowly they begin bored. So they want to go by anapana. Is it okay? At that time, many problems. While they are focusing anapana, then four elements will appear around this area. So they cannot differentiate anapana and four elements. So because of this reason, many meditators, if I want to teach four elements meditation, then I ask them, if you want to go back to anapana again, then you should not practice four elements meditation. If you don't want to go back to anapana again, up to successful stage, up to excess concentration stage, if you want to practice four elements meditation, then it will be very good. In this way, I give one name first. They will not practice anapana, they will practice only four elements meditation, other than usually I teach four elements meditation. So, if you want to practice one meditation object, samatha is one object is better. But if you are successful anapana meditation up to fourth jhana stage, or four elements meditation up to excess concentration stage. At that time, if you want to change other samatha meditations, such as kasinas, tinkasinas, etc., it is good. Good means, based on anapana, bodhijana, if you discern 32 paths, it is very easy. You can clearly see 32 paths. If you can see 32 paths, then you can try three ways. Three ways is, number one is ribasur meditation, asubha bhavana, or padigula manasikara, semine. Number two is kalagasina. Number three is four elements meditation. Among these three, you can do any, but usually we teach all together three, one by one. So if you practice kalagasina, for example, if you pay attention to your head hair, or maybe others' head hair, as in nilagasina, then when you are practicing nilagasina, you should pay attention to nila only. Head hair, they translate blue. Sometimes they translate black. Sometimes they translate blue-black. Sometimes they translate brown. Which is correct? I don't know. Maybe all correct because he has different color of hair. Maybe when the colors begin change, I don't know exactly. So that head hair color, when you are focusing on that hair color, you should focus only one object. Because you are practicing nilagasina. In the same way, if you discern skeleton, you can pay attention as a white kasina. When you are practicing white kasina, only you should pay attention as white only. You should concentrate on that white skeleton object. In the same way, when you are practicing lohita kasina, red kasina, for example, inside the heart, there is maybe a few quantity of blood. It is reddish, red color. You can pay attention to this red gala as lohita kasina. So when you are focusing, practicing lohita, you should focus only lohita, red gala only, not other gala. So you should differentiate. So when you are practicing any kamatana, you should train your meditation object to concentrate on your meditation object only. It is better. Whether it is good or not, no problem. For example, when you are practicing nila kasina, your head hair, rather than if you change red kasina, color will be confused. You cannot attain jhana. In the same way, urine, very repulsive. But if you can pay attention to the color of urine as a yellow kasina, it is also possible. So when you are practicing these kasinas, if you change one kasina to another very quickly, then colors will mix together. At that time, you cannot attain any jhana. You cannot differentiate which kasina. So because of this reason, when you are practicing anapana, then only anapana is better. Not wholesome wandering mind also not good. But usually, for easy understanding, only wandering mind is not wholesome. Wandering mind is, according to our Buddha's teaching, this is uddhicca, restless mind. The restless mind is very weak, a wholesome dhamma. Very weak means it cannot produce to be reborn in one of woeful states. It can produce only a wholesome results in the course of life only. In the course of life or in the course of existence. This is called, we call bodhi. Between prasanna and chuti. But my moment and that my moment. Between these two my moment is called bodhi. Bodhi, they translate the course of life or the course of existence. So between these two times, they may produce unwholesome results only. Then,
okay, the second part of the question. In our daily working life, most of the time ideas come while we are wandering. Isn't it contradict with our practice? In our daily working life, most of the time ideas come while we are wandering. Isn't it contradict with our practice?
Maybe contrary, because if you cannot stay on your meditation object, we can say contrary to your meditation object. When you are practicing samatha, one meditation object is very important. If you are successful, if you want to change another meditation samatha object, it is also okay, you can do. One by one you can do, it is okay, but when you are practicing one meditation object, not yet successful, then if you change another one, this is also will be not successful. Then if you change another one, it will be also not successful. So because of this reason, changing meditation object is good, not good when you are practicing samatha. But when you are practicing vipassana, the object of vipassana is ultimate materiality, and ultimate mentality and their causes. So sometimes you can contemplate ultimate materiality as anicca. Sometimes you can contemplate ultimate materiality as dukkha. Sometimes another. In the same way, sometimes you can contemplate ultimate mentality as anicca or sometimes dukkha, sometimes another. In this way, you must do again and again. So in vipassana, you must change meditation objects. But these meditation objects are ultimate materiality or ultimate mentality or their causes only, not others.
Okay, the question is, when a woman attains arahant state, why does she have to leave the world or die within 2 days?
Not 2 days, within 1 day. Not only women, but also men also say. But if they ordain as bhikkhu or bhikkhuni, this is in the Dhyana Buddha. In the Dhyana Buddha, there are also some arahat bhikkhus. In the Dhyana Buddha, there are also some arahat bhikkhunis, such as Oplawana, Khema, etc. So they are arahats. As a bhikkhu, they observe bhikkhu sila. Bhikkhu sila, they translate as adhi sila. Adhi sila means very high. Haya Bhavapur Sila. Because of this Sila, they can maintain their lifespan. But human Sila is only 5 precepts or 8 precepts or 10 precepts only. So these precepts are not, cannot maintain their lifespan because of this Sila only. So if, for example, Suddhodana, the father of our Buddha, and within his palace, he became arahat. As soon as he became arahat, on that day, he passed away, he took pranibbana. Because this cloth is not worthy to maintain his life, arahat's life. because of this human clothes, lay devotees' clothes. Because they can observe 5 precepts or 8 precepts or 10 precepts. 10 precepts means usually sotapanna, sattvic vanas, sattvic andaras. They usually observe 5 precepts. Sakadagami also, once Radhana also say. Anagami no Radhanas, they observe 10 precepts always. Arhats also, for lay devotees, only 10 precepts. But bhikkhus, they observe Padimokkha, Samvara, Sila, Bhikkhu, Vinaya, Silas. So these Silas are called Adhisekha. Very supreme, high, powerful Silas, trainees. Because of this Sila, they can maintain their lifespan for a long time.
This question is both a statement and a question, pretty long, so I'll try to read this. Seado mentioned that if one group is in excess, either restlessness or laziness will occur. So we should balance with opposite group. How do we do it when we are practicing anapanasati? For example, in sitting, observation of breath becomes very subtle after a while, and it becomes very easy to observe or to follow the breath. But after a while, the mind becomes lazy or weak. What should we do during meditation to increase effort or to balance, so that we won't lose mindfulness and power of mind?
If you understand, you are lazy. It is very good. Because you understand to yourself very well. So if there is laziness, then you should increase effort group, vriya group. How you should try to increase effort. So, Vriya Nimitta, in this case, Buddha taught only very simple way. So, number one is investigation, the enlightenment factor of investigation. Number two is the enlightenment factor of effort. Number three is the enlightenment factor of rapture. So this is one group. To increase these three groups, how you should try? So, for investigation of Dhamma, the nimitta is important. Investigation nimitta. To increase the effort, this is also effort nimitta, vriya nimitta. Then, to increase rapture, what is the cause? The nimitta. What nimitta? Piti nimitta. So in this way, Buddha easily taught. What is the meaning? Now you are practicing anapana. When you are practicing anapana, the natural breath is one cause for to increase your enlightenment factor of investigation, to increase your enlightenment factor of effort, or to increase your enlightenment factor of rapture. Why? If you can concentrate thoroughly on your breath object, you may clearly understand the breath. This is the enlightenment factor of investigation. You may clearly concentrate, you may gain concentrate on the anapana paribhaga nimitta. Mind will not become laziness. At the time, effort. You always try to concentrate on your anapana nimitta only. This is called the enlightenment factor of effort. Because of the anapana nimitta, anapana or breath, your effort also can be developed. In the same way, if you can concentrate thoroughly on your anapana object, sometimes rapture, piti will arise. So these anapana is the nimitta or the cause to increase investigation effort in rapture. This is according to Buddha's teaching only, but according to Gomendhi's explanation, there are also many causes. Many causes means to increase investigation, to increase effort, to increase rapture, how you should practice. So there are different ways mentioned. But these ways are also good. Good means if you cannot increase your investigation or your effort, then your rapture. At the day, you must stop this anapana to focus on the anapana object. To focus on the anapana object, then you should reflect, there are reflecting knowledge. For example, if effort is very not so strong, at the day, you should reflect mrananosati, recollection of your own death. How you should practice? You should try to see your own dead corpse in front of you lying. Then you should try, if you can do thoroughly recollection of your own death, you should penetrate inside your heart. Then before that moment, you should move a little bit. Then you can see Bhunga Maindu. Then move up to that moment again. Then you can see that Maindu completely cease together with life faculty. The complete cessation of that life faculty, if you see, then you can contemplate Mrana Maindu, my death is sure. In this way, if you reflect, then slowly sense of spiritual urgency, Sanvega will rise in your mind. Before death is coming, I must practice. This wandering mind or that this laziness, for example, cannot help not to reborn in hell or in one of woeful states. Usually unwholesome dhammas intend on death. Abhiya, then it is sure to be reborn in one of woeful states. So you should admonish to yourself, you must try before death to control your mind, not to reborn in one of woeful states. In this way, if you reflect, then slowly Vriya energy will become strong. And then you can go back to your anapana meditation object, etc. So in the same way, if you emphasize only with strong effort, then you can focus on the anapana privaga nimitta, then concentration will develop. This is one. In the same way, another group is tranquility, concentration, and equanimity. These three is one group. Sometimes, if you can focus, if you focus on the breath object or nimitta, at the day, because of excessive concentration, because of excessive effort, sometimes you cannot concentrate well because you are very eager because to attain jhana. Because of this, you try hard. At the day, mind is not stay together with nimitta for a long time. Then, occasionally, going, coming, going, coming. At the time, you should try with relaxed mind to concentrate on your nimitta or on your breath object only. With relaxed mind means, at the time, to increase tranquility, concentration, and equanimity, you should focus with on your anapana brivaga nimitta or anapana object. If you can concentrate with relaxed mind, then slowly concentration will develop and mind will stay together with your nimitta or breath. But if you relax too much, then laziness will come. So because of this reason, you should increase again to your concentration and effort. So especially effort and concentration must be balanced when you are practicing samatha. But if concentration is become a little bit in excess, it is okay, no problem, when you are practicing samatha. But when you are practicing vipassana, wisdom faculty must be strong, but both must be balanced. Effort and concentration also must be balanced. It is better. When you are when you are ready to realize Nibbana, at that time both must be balanced. It is better. But before that stage, when wisdom faculty becomes strong, strong means you are inside vipassana, knowledge become very powerful, deep and profound, can contemplate easily every materiality, every mentality, or every cause and every effect, very, very quickly, thoroughly, clearly, then it is very good. But before attaining or before realizing Nibbana at that time, Vriya, effort and concentration must be balanced at that time, temporarily for few seconds or few minutes. At that time only you can realize Nibbana. So, if you want to understand thoroughly, then I must try to look at commentaries in detail, but it will take long time. So please try to increase your concentration on your breath object or on your nimitta only.
One question first.
Can Sayadaw please give some examples of material created by karma?
If you practice four elements meditation, no? Now many meditators are also practicing four elements meditation. One day, when you are concentration deep enough, you can see transparent body. The whole body begins transparent like ice block. If you gain this space between clavas, in that transparent body, there are also space. Space means holes. For example, if you pay attention to this hand, you may think this is one only. But if you carefully focus, then you can see small holes. Body hairs are coming out from these holes. In the same way, in that transparent body, there are also holes. These holes are called agasa space. You should penetrate with the system of your light of wisdom. You should penetrate these holes. Then you can see small particles. That transparent body will break into pieces. And then you can see small particles. If you analyze these small particles, there are two groups. One group is transparent clavas. One group is opaque clavas. They are not transparent. Usually, transparent clavas are produced by karma. For example, if you pay attention to your head hair at that time, four elements meditation systematically, you cannot see head hair, you can see only a group of small particles. If you analyze these small particles, outside the skin, head hair, there are very rare transparent body clavas. Because of this reason, if you shake, you do not feel any pain. Because there is no transparent body clavas. But inside the second, head hair has transparent body clavas. So because of this reason, if you remove, the pain will be appear in your skin. So these are predominant clavas produced by karma. Another is eye. If you do some four elements systematically in your eye, you can see a group of small particles. If you analyze these small particles, there is one kalapa is eye transparent decade kalapa. Decade kalapa means there are 10 types of materiality within one kalapa. They are earth element, water element, fire element, wind element, color, odor, flavor, nutritive essence, life faculty, and eye transparent base. Altogether, there are 10 types. These 10 types of rupas are produced by previous karma. Whether they are produced by previous karma or not, when you practice dependent origination, at that time you will understand they are produced by previous karma. Which karma? Now, in this very life, you accumulated different types of wholesome karmas, as well as different types of unwholesome karmas. In the same way, in previous life also, you had accumulated different types of wholesome karmas as well as different types of unwholesome karmas. Which karma produced this transparent ink paste. You should try to discern clearly to understand. For example, our Bodhisattva, he had accumulated 10 types of Burmese for many aeons. So he accumulated these Burmese wholesome dhammas. Among these wholesome dhammas, which wholesome karma produced his rebirth consciousness in ultimate materialities and kind of rebirth mind moment? Only metta bhavana. He accumulated many wholesome dhammas. Among these many wholesome dhammas, metta bhavana, pubha bhaga paribhra. Pubha bhaga paribhra means before metta jhana stage, there are wholesome dhammas, very strong and powerful excess concentration stage. These wholesome dhammas produce our body sattas, five aggregates in time of conception stage or in time of birth linking mind moment. In the same way, you had accumulated many wholesome dhammas in previous life. Among these many wholesome dhammas, which wholesome dhamma produced this ultimate materiality, ultimate mentality, you must try to trace up to past life. At that time only you can understand which type of wholesome dhamma produced this transparent eye base. In the same way, here ear transparent eye base, nose transparent eye base, tongue transparent eye base, eye transparent base, ear transparent base, nose transparent base, tongue transparent base, body transparent base. They are also produced by previous karma only. So there are different types of materialities produced by previous karma. Which karma produced? Then you should try to understand when you practice dependent origination.
The same meditator had a second question. In Seado Agenya's Dhamma talk a few nights ago, he mentioned that the body produces a form of morphine in the blood when the person is happy. Is this kind of material created by consciousness? Please explain. Thank you.
The body produces a kind of morphine in the body when he is happy. Is this kind of material created by consciousness? Morphine is a kind of sedation. It's a material in the body that keeps you, reduces pain, gives you relaxation.
Maybe this is maybe.
The body produces a form of morphine. Morphine is like a drug. Is this a kind of material that is the morphine produced by a form of consciousness?
No, this is they are two different.
I'll just try this one.
Aren't.
In fact, the question should be, does not do the... Okay, I read it in the correct way. In some suttas, Buddha mentioned that when you practice Satipatthana, followed by seven factors of enlightenment, to attain enlightenment, do these seven factors exist in Satipatthana?
Okay.
This is the question. I'll rephrase it slightly. Reverend Sir, in some suttas, Buddha mentioned that to practice Satipatthana, we should follow it with the seven factors of enlightenment to attain enlightenment. It's a roundabout way. But the key to the question is, do these seven factors of enlightenment already not exist in Satipatthana?
In Satipatthana, there are four main chapters. Number one, Kaya Nipasana, contemplating body as body. Number two is Virana Nipasana, contemplating feeling as feeling. Number three is Chitta Nipasana, contemplating mind as mind. Number four is Dhamma Nupasana, contemplating Dhamma objects as Dhamma objects only. In Dhamma Nupasana, contemplating Dhamma as Dhamma, there are five chapters. Okay. Number one is hindrances. Number two is five aggregates. Number three is seven bhujangas. Number four is four noble truths. Five hindrances of the 12 aranas. Number two is 12 aranas, then five aggregates, then seven enlightenment patterns, then four noble truths. So seven enlightenment patterns are also mentioned in Mahasripana Sutta. In the same way, in some suttas also Buddha explained seven enlightenment patterns. If you understand seven enlightenment patterns thoroughly, then they are same positive pranas. You will understand. For example, maybe in my last Dhamma talk, I had explained about seven enlightenment patterns. So, when you are practicing samatha, for example, if you enter into Pajjana, there are also seven enlightenment patterns. Number one is mindfulness. The enlightenment pattern of mindfulness. If you remember again and again the anapana paribhaga nimitta, this is called the enlightenment pattern of mindfulness. If you penetrate the anapana paribhaga nimitta, this is called the enlightenment pattern of investigation of Dhamma, Dhamma vichaya. If you try to concentrate on the anabana vribhaga nimitta, that effort is called the enlightenment factor of effort. At that time, rapture will arise. That rapture's mind is called the enlightenment factor of rapture, piti, sambhojanga. Then if you can concentrate on the anabana vribhaga nimitta, at that time, tranquility of mind will arise. This is the enlightenment pattern of tranquility. If you can concentrate thoroughly, that concentration is called the enlightenment factor of concentration. At that time, equanimity will arise. That equanimity is called the enlightenment factor of equanimity. Altogether, seven bhujangas. When you are practicing anapana, seven bhujangas are always present. At that time also, four satipranas can be possible. Four satipranas is when you are practicing anapana up to fourth jhana. This is called kaya nupasana. Contemplating body as body. Why? Breath is nothing but a group of small body gas. That group of small body gas is called body. In Pali, it is called kaya. Based on this anapana bodhjana, if you can discern jhana pedas or jhana dhammas, among these jhana dhammas, mindfulness also include. There are four jhana, there are 34 mental formations. When you are If you can discern among these 34 mental formations, virana also include. If you can discern virana, this is virana nupasana. Among these 34 mental formations, there is also chaita. That chaita is the mind. If you can discern this chaita mind, then this is chaita nupasana. Then if you can discern the remaining mental factors, altogether there are 32 mental factors. If you can discern this, the little mental fetters, then we can say you are practicing Dhammanupassana. So when you are practicing Samatha also, if you can discern the little mental fetters, or maybe Paichana Dhammas. Among Paichana Dhammas, there is also feelings, Sukha or Sukha, Sukha, happiness feeling. This is, if you can contemplate this happiness feeling, this is you are practicing Virananupassana. Then, if you can reflect the consciousness which is associated with Paichana Fetas, this is you are practicing Chaitanupassana. If you can discern the remaining Jhana Fetas, then we can say you are practicing Dhammanupassana. This is Samatha says. When you are practicing Vipassana, then if you can discern this 34 Medal of Fetas or Jhana Dhammas or 32 Jhana Dhammas or 31 Jhana Dhammas, etc., at that time, Four types of anupassana, four foundations of mindfulness are also included. In the same way, when you are practicing vipassana, you must also discern ultimate materiality. When you want to discern ultimate materiality, you must practice four elements meditation. If you practice four elements meditation systematically, then you can see kalapas, small particles. If you can analyze these small particles, then you can see ultimate materiality. If you can discern ultimate materiality, this is called Kayanupassana. So, four anupassanas are also, when you are practicing vipassana, four anupassanas are also already finished. And then seven bhujanga are also finished. If you can always mindful ultimate materiality, ultimate mentality, this is the enlightenment factor of mindfulness. If you penetrate ultimate materiality in mentality, this is the enlightenment factor of investigation, Dhamma Vichaya. If you try to understand ultimate materiality in mentality, that effort is called the enlightenment factor of effort. When you are penetrating ultimate materiality in mentality, at that time, rapturous mind will arise. That rapture is called the enlightenment factor of PD. Rapture. And that day, tranquility of mind, concentration, and equanimous mind also will arise. They are the enlightenment factor of tranquility, concentration, and equanimity. So seven bhujangas are, when you are discerning ultimate materiality and mentality, seven bhujangas also always present. In the same way, when you are discerning divine origination, at that time also seven bhujangas, enlightenment patterns are always present. In the same way, you must contemplate this ultimate materiality, mentality, and their causes as nature, dukkha, anatta. At that time also seven enlightenment patterns are always present. Among these seven, for example, ultimate materiality, ultimate mentality, and their causes are called sankhara formations. You must contemplate these formations as anicca or dukkha or anatta. When you are contemplating as anicca, if you remember the anicca, impermanent nature of these formations, this is the enlightenment factor of mindfulness. If you penetrate the nature or dukkha nature or another nature of these formations, this is the enlightenment factor of investigation, Dhamma Vichaya. If you try to understand the nature, dukkha, and another nature of these formations, that effort is called the enlightenment factor of effort. When you are practicing in this way, then rapture will arise, PD. This is the enlightenment factor of rapture. At that time, tranquility, concentration, and equanimity also will rise. They are associated with the other bhujanga dhammas. So the tranquility, concentration, and equanimity are called the enlightenment factors of tranquility, concentration, and equanimity. So seven bhujangas are also present. At that time, when you are contemplating These formations as anicca, dukkha, anatta. And then if you contemplate ultimate materiality as anicca, dukkha, anatta, then this is, you are practicing kaya nupasana, contemplating body as body only. If you contemplate feeling as anicca, dukkha, anatta, then we can say you are practicing virana nupasana, contemplating feeling as feeling. Then, if you contemplate consciousness, mind, as anicca, dukkha, anatta, then this is called citta nupassana, contemplation of mind as mind. Then, if you contemplate the remaining mandala patas as anicca, dukkha, anatta, then this contemplation is called dhamma nupassana. So, seven bhujangas and four types of mindfulness of foundation, anupasanas, sposati pranas are same. They are interrelated to each other. So if you understand Abhidhamma, you will understand clearly the relationship between four foundations of mindfulness and seven enlightenment pathas. When seven enlightenment pathas are very strong, powerful, other than sometimes you can contemplate this ultimate materiality and ultimate mentality as five aggregates, it is also possible. 12 arana ways, it is also possible. 4 noble truths ways, it is also possible. If you bring this ultimate materiality as the aggregate of, clinging aggregate of materiality. But ultimate mentality, there are 4 groups. Virana is the clinging aggregate of feeling. Sanya perception is the clinging aggregate of sanya perception. The remaining mental factors are called the clinging aggregate of formation. The consciousness is called the clinging aggregate of consciousness. So if you can contemplate these five aggregates as anicca, dukkha, anatta, such type of contemplation is also called dhamma nupassana. You are contemplating dhammas as dhammas. In the same way, you can divide this ultimate materiality, ultimate mentality into 12 groups, 12 arana bases. If you contemplate them as 12 arana metta, by way of 12 arana metta, this is also called dhamma nupassana. Again, ultimate materiality and ultimate mentality are the noble truth of suffering, dukkha sitta. Their causes are called the noble truth of the origin of suffering, samudaya sitta. So these two types of sittas separately you can contemplate as anicca, dukkha, anatta. This is also possible. So when you are practicing samatha and vipassana systematically, we can say you are practicing four foundations of mindfulness, sati prana, four types of sati prana, as well as you are practicing seven bhujanga dhammas. You are trying to develop seven enlightenment pathas, we can say. So they are all are same.
No. Venerable Mahamoggallana begins Sotapanna, when listening, one stanza taught by Venerable Sariputta. Venerable Sariputta, at that time he is paribhajaka, wandering ascetic. One day he met with Venerable Asaji. Asaji is the youngest bhikkhu among five group bhikkhus. When he saw Venerable Asaji, he had a lot of confidence to that Asaji, in that Asaji bhikkhu. So he followed up the Asaji. After meal, he helped Venerable Asaji to wash his bowl as well as do his hand, etc. After that, he discussed about Dhamma. And then Venerable Asaji taught him one sentence. Yidama hidu babawa desa hidu tathagato aha desin chakyo nirodo eonwadi mahasamano. What is the meaning? Our Buddha's view is for noble truth only. He taught the noble truth of suffering. He taught the noble truth of the origin of suffering. He taught the noble truth of the cessation of suffering. He taught the noble truth of the path leading to the cessation of suffering. These four noble truths our Buddha taught. In this way only he explained. Then Venerable Sariputta became Sotapanna. Then he quickly go back to his residence, place. Then he again taught this sentence to the Venerable Mahamoggallana. Listening to this sentence, Venerable Mahamoggallana also became Sotapanna. In the evening, they went to the Veluvana Bamboo Grove, Monastery Veluvana Vihara, together with their 250 followers. Bhikkhu called them Ehi Bhikkhu. They all became bhikkhus already. At that time, Buddha trying one Dhamma talk. By listening this Dhamma talk, their 250 disciples became all arhats. But Venerable Sariputta, Venerable Mahamoggallana cannot become arhat, only still Sotapanna. Then Venerable Mahamoggallana take permission from the Buddha after taking meditation subject from the Buddha. And then he went one village called Kalawala Buddha village. Near that village there is one forest. In that forest he diligently practiced Samatha and Vipassana without stopping, without sleeping, only standing and sitting for 7 days. And then he began sleepiness. Sleepiness overwhelmed them. And then by sitting on his walking path corner, he is sleepy. Other than Buddha visit to him and taught one sutta called Pachalaya Mana Sutta in Gaudiya Nikaya. Especially that sutta, Buddha teach him to remove sloth and dopa. 7 ways. Among 7 ways, the most important thing is Aloka Kasina. Other than he specialized 5 mundane sight powers. He can easily enter into Aloka Kasina up to 4th jhana. And he can spread this light up to infinite universe. And then he can do a daytana. Day and night together, always light become. So Buddha suggests him to do like that. So he enter into Aloka Kasina. Light is spread up to infinite universe. At that time, he do daytana. This light lasts long, maybe the whole day or the whole night. In this way, he do daytana. Then always there is light. Because of this light, sleepiness disappear. You should try. So at that day, at the end of this course, he became arahat only, not listening Bhujanga. Bhujanga Dhamma is later. When he sick, at that time, Buddha taught 7 Bhujanga Dhammas. After listening 7 Bhujanga Dhammas, he reflect, oh, I had already practiced these 7 Bhujanga Dhammas. These 7 Bhujanga Dhammas are in me. So I am very, at that time, he became very happy. Because of this happy mind produced superior materialities. We call mind produced materialities. This materialities spread throughout the body. At that time, among these materialities, there is earth element, fire element, wind element. These 3 elements are called tangible objects. These tangible elements impinge in his transparent body base. At that time, very happy sukha, happy feelings appear. Because of this happiness, feelings, then all disease disappear. In this way only he listened Bhujanga Dhamma only. Not when listening Bhujanga Dhamma, he did not become Sotapanna. Okay, now 9:30. Okay, let that stop. Okay. Sharing merit. Idame Bhunya Asavakya วหังโหตุอิดัมเมปุญญะนิพพานัสสะปัจฉโยโหตุอิดัมเมปุญญะสัพพสัตตานังปัจเจมะเทสะเภเมสมะปุญญะภังคังละบันตุสาธุสาธุ